D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by Scott Wheeler of The Athletic, one of The Athletic's top NHL draft analysts. Hi, Scott. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So I was reading your latest mock draft at The Athletic, and you have the Nashville Predators with the fifth overall pick taking James Hagans, the center out of Boston College. Now, I think every mock draft that I have read since the NHL draft lottery earlier this week has had the Predators taking Hagans at number five, which honestly, I was surprised by because I thought Hagans would be gone by number five. What are you hearing about how the top of the draft is going to shake out, and why do you think Hagans would be a great fit for the Predators if they drafted him at five?
Well, I think if Hagans doesn't go very early, i.e. if he doesn't go first or second overall, I don't see the teams that are selecting third and fourth overall as natural fits. I'm just not convinced that he's the right guy for the Chicago Blackhawks, for example. Hagans is a 5'10", 5'11", center. The Blackhawks have a lot of 5'10", 5'11", skilled, fast players within their group at the moment. He just doesn't feel like a fit to me. I think they go with a little bit more size at number three in Chicago. And that leads me to Nashville. I think there's a chance that James Hagans does, in fact, go first or second overall. I think the Islanders will consider him. Obviously, he's a local Long Island boy. I would fully expect it at the NHL scouting combine in Buffalo in a couple of weeks that he's going to pitch his case to the Islanders organization as to why he's the right fit for them and why he wants to play for them and be a 10, 15, 20-year player for them kind of thing. As far as the Preds go, I think there are some other natural fits there. They've drafted the competitive type over and over again in terms of the forwards that they've gone after and targeted. You think of Igor Sirin a year ago, Zachary LaRue, even Teddy Stiga. You go down the list. They clearly have a type, and there are some players in that range who sort of fit the competitive mold that the Predators have coveted in the past, whether that's winger Porter Martone, center Brady Martin, even center Jake O'Brien to a little bit lesser degree than Martin, but still has that competitive, well-rounded, two-way style of game. But this is an opportunity for them to secure in Nashville a true playmaking high-end talent. The last time they drafted fifth overall, they took an American star by the name of Seth Jones. And I think this is another opportunity for them to do the same. Take an American kid, a star, true sort of high skill, high points guy. That's what you're looking at if you're going to take James Hagans. He maybe doesn't have the size of some of the other forwards that are available in that range. But I think they've longed in Nashville for that premium skill player up front. Obviously, Philip Forsberg has represented that for them. But they could use another player of that kind of point totals sort of projection, if you will. And I think that's what James Hagans is capable of. So if I'm them, I'd be hard-pressed to pass up on the skill and playmaking of James Hagans. They will also be familiar with him. They drafted Teddy Stiga, who I mentioned off the top, a year ago in the second round. Well, Teddy Stiga was a line mate at the NTDP with James Hagans and was also a frequent line mate with him at Boston College this season. So they'll be well-versed in James Hagans and everything he offers.
Along those lines, Scott, back at the beginning of this year, you did your annual prospect pool rankings of every team in the NHL, and you had the Predators at number 8 in your 2025 rankings. And you noted in your story that the Predators are a difficult team to slot, because their top prospect, Tanner Mullendijk, is probably the least exciting among the top 10 pools in the league, but they're also the only team in the league with 9 first-round picks in their pool. So now, a few months removed from that, how would you analyze the Predators' prospect pool? Because Barry Trotz is putting a lot of faith in players like Tanner Mullendijk and Matthew Wood and David Edstrom to be the next generation for this organization. How confident should he be that those players, among others, can indeed be that next generation?
I think Barry Trotz should have a lot of confidence in the fact that he's got a number of NHL players and solid, good NHL players in the pool. I think Tanner Molendijk is going to be a top four defenseman in the NHL. Top four defenseman in the NHL nowadays make $6-7 million, and I think that's what he's capable of getting to. I look at David Edstrom as a potential middle six C. I look at Matthew Wood as a potential top nine scoring winger. Matthew has to work on his pace of play and his skating. That's always been the concern with Wood. But as far as the ability to shoot it on the power play and the skill for a 6 foot four player, that's all there for Matt Wood. Then you go to Fedor Svechkov, who they had this year, and Zachary Rourou, who started to make a dent on the NHL roster, and even guys like Joachim Kemmel, who are coming, and Teddy Stiga, who I mentioned. And there's a lot of guys who should be good players, who should be top nine players or top six defensemen. They still are missing that true, true premium prospect, though. You look around the league, they don't have, say, an Ivan Demidov like the Montreal Canadiens do. They don't have a Sam Dickinson like the San Jose Sharks do, or a Will Smith, or a Macklin Celebrini like the San Jose Sharks do. They don't have an Artem Levshunov like the Chicago Blackhawks do, or a Zeev Boyum like the Minnesota Wild do. So they're missing that true, true star prospect still. But very, very deep group, strong group of young players. They're going to help sort of insulate the forward group, especially for the Preds moving forward. But that's why a player like Higgins, I think, is so important that they land him. And maybe Porter Martone's that guy too. But Higgins being a center, being a high skill guy, that immediate star prospect within the system, the kind of guy who could be a first-line player rather than a middle-six player, that just changes the look of the prospect pool a little bit. So that's why I think there's a natural fit for Higgins there.
Scott Wheeler is with us from The Athletic. We're talking about the Predators and the upcoming NHL draft, their prospect pool. Scott, first, thank you for all your great coverage on this. This really helps us in a city like Nashville, where we're removed, where all these guys play. You know, and so you're putting a face and a name to these guys. So, Scott, I think a lot of Predator fans were really distraught when they dropped down in the lottery. It didn't go up or didn't stay. Where do you put the threshold of where you can get somebody who has a chance to be one of those elite premium talents, as you just characterized? And is number five still in that range?
Yeah, I think number five still is in that range. I have the top of the draft divided into three tiers. There's a group of two at the top, led by Matthew Schaefer and Michael Misa. I think those are the two best players at their positions, the best defenseman and the best forward in the class. I think Misa, as great as James Higgins and others are, I think Misa distinguished himself with his 134-point goal per game, 2 points per game season in the OHL this year. He's a 6'1" center who has all of the skill and playmaking and feel and smarts that a player like James Higgins has, but does it at 6'1" instead of at 5'10", 5'10.5" kind of thing. And then there's that second group for me and for most scouts that includes about four more players. And those players are Higgins, who I mentioned off the top, Porter Martone, who I mentioned, and then Anton Frundell and Caleb Desnoyer, two other centers. Frundell's a big, heavy 6'1" center. Desnoyer is the first-line center for the Moncton Wildcats, who are one of the Memorial Cup favorites and are in the midst of the QMJHL final at the moment. Very, very smart, committed two-way center who projects as a top-six center in the NHL. So you've got that group of three centers, Higgins, Frundell, and Desnoyer, a top winger in Porter Martone, and that's sort of your core group of six at the top. Now, that group of six could be disrupted by a couple of other players who are kind of in that third tier that I mentioned. So Jake O'Brien, who I mentioned earlier, is a center with the Brantford Bulldogs, who I think has a chance to go in the top 6-7 picks. Brady Martin is a center, ultra-competitive center with the Sioux Greyhounds, who has a chance to go in that sort of top 6 or 7 group and disrupt it a little bit. So even if they'd slip to number 8 or number 9, I still think there's a chance they could have got that kind of a talent. Obviously, with the lottery only being 2 draws now, they were only eligible to slip a maximum of 2 spots, which they did. But I still think at 5, you're not just in the middle of that group with an option to pick 1 or 2 players, but there will quite likely be 3 or 4 of those guys available to you to select from. So still in a very advantageous position, still going to get a top prospect. Will they get Matthew Schaefer or Michael Misa there? No, but that next group is a legit group as well.
Why do you think that Higgins? I got two more questions for you, Scott. I know your time is limited here, so we really appreciate you coming on with us to sort of set the table with this. Why do you think Higgins' stock has dropped a little bit? Because I think for a while I was seeing him more in that top tier.
Yeah, there's a mix of factors. Part of it is just that he didn't have a great season in college hockey. And we've seen some great seasons by draft-eligible players in the last couple of years, and I think that skewed what the expectations might have been for a player like James Higgins. We saw Macklin Celebrini and Adam Fantilli put up 60-plus points in college hockey. James Higgins had 37 and 37, was still a top player on his team, a top six player on Boston College, who were one of the best teams in the country this year, led the American World Junior team in ice time by forwards to win a gold medal, was very good at the World Juniors in that role, scored a couple of big goals at the World Juniors, including a pivotal wraparound goal that he stuffed, is the reigning and current record holder for most points at U18 Worlds, which he set a full year ago in Finland. A year before that, he set the U17 world scoring record. So we're still talking about a high-end player, but there were some games this year where he just didn't dominate, where he blended in a little bit more than a Macklin Celebrini did or an Adam Fantilli did when they played in college at the same age, especially games against bigger opponents. I remember a weekend series coming out of the World Juniors against Merrimack College, a really heavy, big team in college hockey, where he just struggled to get to the inside, and that raised some questions with teams about all of the talent in the world, all of the skating in the world, but is he going to be able to score a ton and get to the net and get to the dirty areas a ton in the NHL as a 5'10 and a half, 5'11 center? There are some who think he may end up on the wing, as is always a conversation when you're a smaller center. I don't believe that. I think James Higgins is a center in the NHL all day. I think he's competitive enough. I think he's in the fight enough. And then he certainly has the skill and the skating to play that position and make his line mates better. But he just didn't blow the doors off of his draft year, if you will. He didn't have the kind of season that a Celebrini or a Fantilli did. And as a result, he sort of fits into that top five conversation more than he does the first overall conversation. Now, in saying that, could he go first overall because of the unique set of circumstances with it being the Islanders and with him being a Long Island kid who grew up an Islanders fan and their desire to have a player like that within their organization, especially after they lost John Tavares, the last first overall pick that they had, to free agency. The idea of keeping James Higgins and not having to worry about that and James Higgins being an Islander for life, all of that is, I'm sure, enticing to them, but he still fits more into that 2, 3, 4, 5 conversation, I think, than he does the first overall conversation for most teams.
All right, here's the last one. Scott, the Predators will have three picks somewhere between around 24 and 35, 36, if my math is right. So three picks and about a dozen towards the end of the first round and the top of the second round. As you look at the draft as a whole, what are we looking at in that area? And as a goalie, maybe, in that equation, given the fact that the Predators really don't have the long-term next goalie in the chain?
Yep, I think that's absolutely the case. Joshua Ravensbergen is the goalie to fill in that late first, early second round range. I did my mock at The Athletic this week and sort of mentioned that I think Ravensbergen's a potential fit for the Predators with their late first-round pick. Obviously, they traded away Yaroslav Askarov because he wasn't on the right timeline to align with UC Soros. By moving from a 22-year-old Askarov to an 18-year-old Ravensbergen, suddenly that lines up with what the end of Soros' next contract will be in terms of when you would expect a goaltender like Joshua Ravensbergen to enter into the league. So I think Ravensbergen is absolutely within the realm of the candidates that they'll be considering there. As far as the draft on the whole in that range, not a great year. I was just at U18 Worlds in Texas, and I can say that it was the sort of least talented, least compelling U18 Worlds that I've covered to date. This isn't a great draft class. I like those top six guys that I mentioned. There are still going to be star players that come out of this draft class. There are still going to be even transformative players for their clubs that come out of this draft class. But we've been spoiled the last couple of years. 2023 and 2024 were excellent drafts. This draft doesn't have that same depth into the, not just outside of the top 10, but outside of the top 30 kind of thing there will still be good players drafted in that range and players who play in the NHL for a long time picked in that range, but I don't think you're looking at game changers or high impact types. I think in the late first and early second in this draft specifically, you're just hoping to get guys that will play for you.
Scott Wheeler of The Athletic, NHL, joining us on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick talking the NHL draft. Scott, thank you so much for joining us. I'm sure we'll catch up soon.
Cheers. Anytime, guys.
Scott Wheeler joining us on the program. 615-737-1025. Speaking of rookies, the Titans rookies are taking the field today and tomorrow for rookie minicamp. What are some things worth focusing on other than Cam Ward? We'll discuss that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Nashville's best deal of the week is celebrating National Barbecue Month. Get a $50 gift card to Central Barbecue in Capitol View for half off right now. Try their new barbecue sampler, ribs, wings, and barbecue sliders. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals right now while supplies last.